Again, we're doing stuff a little bit unusual if you're a first-time guest, but man, don't check out on us, especially what we're going to talk about this morning real quick, and it's mainly an encouragement. I want to encourage us, man, because we're fixing to start a venture in our church that we feel like is pretty important, and that is what we're calling Life Group. Life Group. And what that's going to look like is it's going to be on Wednesday nights, and we've been planning this now. We had a meeting with five of us about 2 or 3 months ago. We all prayed. We all fasted. We wanted to hear what Dad wanted to do, because the biggest issue that I'm hearing from the people that come to Epic Life is they want more. They want to be able to go deeper. They want to know the Bible better. They want to be able to, you know, share their testimony. They want to be able to evangelize. They want to understand what it means to give. What is this giving all about? They want to understand grace. I get up here and talk about grace. They want to understand about love and the decision that they made to be a follower of Christ. And many people, most Christians, don't understand what they believe. Most. Now, we're not talking about being apologetic. Apologetics is one that can debate Christianity versus other religions, such as Islam or whatever, but it's that's not what we're talking about doing. We're just talking about understanding why you believe what you believe. And most people don't. Most Christians are still stuck in bondages and hurts and habits and hang-ups that they have been completely removed from, but don't realize it because they don't know who they are in Christ. And so one of the things that we decided after much prayer, the biggest thing that we hear in our church is who people are in Christ. And so on Wednesday nights, we're going to meet together and talk about that. Now, why is this important? Because I am a firm believer that most people want to grow in their faith. Yes? I believe that. I believe most people want to grow in their faith. The problem is they don't know how. There's too many messages running out there. What do we believe? And the other thing is, people are just too busy. We don't take the time to understand what we believe and why we believe it. We're too busy, and we don't know how. That brought me to a statement as I was praying about this and trying to figure it out, you know, okay, God, how do we present this? And this statement came to my heart, and this is this. And it's going to sound a little harsh, and it's not meant to sound harsh, but it is, we make time for what's important. We make time for what's important. I make time, now that I got yelled at by my coach, to work out, to be physically fit, to eat right, other than the ice cream. We're not cutting that out, praise Jesus. I believe that is God-ordained, all right? But I make time for what's important. I make time for my wife. I have to be diligent about asking my wife out on a date at least once a month, or I'm going to get in trouble, okay? So what's important to me, I make time for. The problem is we view Christianity as some of us, okay? We kind of view this Christian walk as it's my job, the pastor's job, to come up here on Sunday morning and give you this revelation from God, and you're supposed to take that revelation God, and your whole week's going to be different. I disagree with that. I believe it's our responsibility as the body of Christ, according to the book of Timothy, to study to show ourselves approved, workmen who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why do Christians get turned around in their faith? Why do Christians get deceived in their faith? Because they don't know what the Bible says. And we follow people that have they got this one spiritual truth. And because we don't understand how to study this thing we call the Bible, God's holy word, we don't understand its context and where it came from and who they were talking about and all this other stuff. So then someone comes on the scene and shares us a truth that it's probably a truth, but then we take our whole Christian walk and dive it into this one particular truth, and we can't understand why we're not being successful in our Christian walk, because we've majored everything we believe in a truth that we heard from someone else. I love what a person had told me, man, and there is some truth to what she said, is that sometimes a spiritual truth that's a spiritual truth to me is not necessarily always a spiritual truth for you. Does that make sense? So it's not that the truth is wrong, but because I understand, particularly depending on where I am in my walk and where I am in my life. One passage of scripture will bring enlightenment to me or speak to my heart so much stronger than, say, another particular passage that's speaking to you. And that's what I mean by that. Truth is truth. And I tell people this all the time. God's word does not need you to defend it. God's word will defend itself, but you need to know what it says. You need to know what it says. See, the Bible shows us how the church should operate. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 4, which is why where I kind of come up with this, in Acts chapter 4, in verse 42, this was the early church. And they continued. No, everybody, stay continued. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. So this is something that was a regular habit of them. And notice, if you go back and read it, he wasn't just talking to disciples, or the disciples, as we would call it. He wasn't just talking to the 12. Okay, that makes sense? He wasn't talking to them. He was actually talking about all of those people that were followers of Christ at that moment. They had just, this is Acts chapter 2. Does anybody remember? Y'all can participate. What happened just before this verse, in probably around verse 3? Anybody remember? Come on, you shout it out. What happened in verse 3 in chapter 2? You want me to tell you? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was the day of Pentecost happened. And all these people, Peter gets out there and preaches a killer message, man. I mean, it was like, it rocked. 3,000 to 5,000 people received Jesus Christ that day. And then in verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? It was a salvation message. It was, how do you live your life now as a believer? The apostles' doctrine. And in fellowship. They didn't just come to church and hung out with each other. They hung out with each other everywhere. They had fellowship with each other. And then in the breaking of bread and in prayer. I love praying for people in church. I love praying for an altar ministry. I love the altar ministry that we're developing. I love doing that. But you know something? You have the same authority as I do. I am nobody special, church, because I get up here and I preach on Sunday morning. You have that same authority. You have that same anointing. You have that same purpose. But we think, man, that's Pastor Mike's job. They continued. In today's business, it's hard to continue in anything, isn't it? Even in New Year's resolutions, right? People make these New Year's resolutions. I'm going to stay healthy. I'm going to do it. Now we're about 6 months in. How you doing? I'm going to save more. How you doing? I'm going to stop drinking more. I'm going to drink less. I got to watch how I say that around here, man, because this is a different load of people. Look, you don't drink any more, but you don't drink any less, right? Praise God. Okay. You're going to eat right. You're going to live right. You're going to do something different. You're not going to go to the club as much. How's that working for you? We get busy and we forget our commitments. We get busy and we forget what we're supposed to be doing. The busyness of our life, man, keeps us from being steadfast and to continue in anything a lot of times. But look here at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Watch what they said. This is what they continued in. So continuing daily, this is the second time in only two verses, in four verses, that he says, so continuing daily with one accord in the what? The temple. That's here. That's the church. That's a whole other message. I'm not preaching. If you're once a month, okay, whatever. But that's here. Then what did they do? They broke bread. Where? From house to house. They ate their food with gladness, and I love this, simplicity of heart. That means just simpleness. That means, you know what, it didn't matter what you had or what she had or what they had. They just all came together with a simple heart, and whatever we had, we had. It wasn't glamorous. The house wasn't clean. There's still dust on the TV set, you know, when you walk in there. Maybe a couple pairs of dirty socks laying around, you know. It was just simplicity. It was simplicity. This is the church. Now, my question, though, when I was reading this is, what happened between the two verses? What happened between verse, I want to make sure I did it right, 42 and the verse 46? What was going on during the between? Well, let's look. Acts 2, 43 through 45. Of course, it starts out, then fear, and that fear is a reverential fear. It's not like, ah. All right, then fear came upon every soul, and what happened? Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and their goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They had church. They did life together. There's miracles happening. People were praying for each other. Miracles were happening. All this great stuff. And so you get this word that says continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, Acts chapter, the verse 42. And then you go back to 46, and he says it again. Why? Because life happened in the middle. Life happens in the middle. Life happens. Guys, listen to me. You can't give out something you don't have. I've been talking about this for several months now. Loved people do what? Love others. Hurt people do what? Hurt others. You see, there's a love and a compassion and something that God has for us, but unless you're experiencing that in your life, it's hard to understand it. Well, that's Pastor Mike's job. He's the pastor. He's supposed to love those people. No, my job is to equip you to love those people. My job is to equip you and to tell you and share with you how you can become the man and woman that God's called you to be. So look, that's our whole vision statement, right? We want to experience real love, that God is passionate for you. He's passionate about you. He has a real love. It's not fake, man. It ain't a Hallmark card. It's the real deal. And when you have that understanding of who you are in Christ and how much Jesus loved you so much and that indwells your spirit, man, you can do that and give that out to other people. And then you come in and you become real people. We want this to be a church of real people. It's okay to come in here hurting. It's okay here to come in struggling. It's okay here to come in with your habits and your hangups. That's okay. We want real people at Epic Life Church. You don't have to put on a Sunday mask to come in here and look all like everything's all together. Because you know something? The guy that's up here preaching doesn't have everything all together either sometimes. Hey, who hadn't made that, man? Praise God. Thank you, brother. We don't. It's okay. But let me tell you something. We can't stay here, though. This is where we mess up as a church sometimes, I think. This is where I mess up. That, man, I got this habit or this hurt or this hang-up or whatever, and well, my whole church accepts me, and everybody's good with it. They're all right with that, and I stay here. But God says, wait a minute. There's one more step. You've got to find your real purpose. You got to find your real purpose. Why were you created to be on this earth? It wasn't to suck up oxygen, church. It was so that you become a believer, and as a believer, you become a disciple. What is a disciple? You follow Jesus. You're a Jesus follower, a disciple. You're a disciple. God never spoke in this Bible. He never told us to create Christians. He didn't say that. He said, go out and make disciples. Go out and make disciples. That's what we're about at Epic Life. To discover the life you were created for takes more than just energy on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. I'm sorry. We make time for what's important. To be the man or the woman that God has for you, it requires more time in our life sometimes. We make time for what's important. The gift and life that each of us has is not held as a secret. It is to be given away. This whole idea of this free gift of love for real people and have purpose. We're to come into the church, get real, re-equipped, get fired up, whatever. Spend that time with Daddy in worship and then take it out there into the streets. The reason we don't, not all of us now, some of the reason why we don't is because we're insecure in who we are as a church. We struggle with that, don't we? Man, how am I, what scripture should I give them? What should I do? How should I do it? That's what, man, I love about life groups. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Do you realize, church, just because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, walking into the room, the entire environment can change. You don't even have to open up your mouth just because the Spirit of God dwells within you. You are a light. Light the world up, guys. Light the world up. Our light should shine so we can point people in the direction of answers. Nowhere in this Bible does it tell us to let our life just be the witness. It says, go out and do it. Go out and do it. Live the life. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell people what God has done in your life. All you have to do is share your story. Salvation is only the beginning of our lives. We are called to become disciples, followers of Christ, Christians. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study. Be eager. I love that. Be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed. See, the idea that grace means that once I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that means I can kick my foot up on a footstool, man, and I can relax now. Are you kidding me? That's when the work begins. I'm preaching better than y'all yelling. Come on. Man, I'm telling you, man, it says to study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God. It's not a salvation issue at this point. This is not about salvation. It's about the life that you now live with that salvation inside your heart. We get to now present ourselves to God approved, tested by trial. It's going to be trials. It's going to get ugly sometimes in our walk. It ain't always pretty. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly, analyzing, and accurately dividing what? The word of truth. That's not just Pastor Mike's job on Sunday morning. It's all of our job. We are the church. It's our job as a church to do that. I have no idea where my glasses went, praise God. Probably on my head somewhere. Right, there you are, praise God. Look at you guys. He's going to lose his glass. Everybody's throwing money around. Making bets. All right. 2 Timothy 2:15, we send that. Psalms 111. That's what we're going to close it up with. Psalms 111 and 2. It says that the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Can I say something for you, minute church? Hold that up there for a minute, Stefan. Don't turn it. Let me share something with you. Take this in context, what I'm about to say. I know all of us in this world have struggles. We kind of talked about it this morning, man, as we were worshiping. But the works of the Lord are great. Our daddy is a great daddy. And he's nothing like our father on this earth. Now, I'm not saying you had a bad daddy or you got a good daddy. I'm just saying that your father on earth cannot compare to the father that's in heaven. And man, the Bible tells us in Psalms 111 and 2 that the works of our daddy, our father, the Lord himself, are so great. And yet we struggle day in and day out and day in and day out with the same stuff because we don't know this. We don't understand this. That God's not mad at you. He's passionately in love with you. And when I started preaching this, church, listen to me for a minute. When I started preaching this, man, I had people in the congregation mad at me. Mad at me. Because I told them who they were and how God views them. That he looks at you passionately with purpose and with real love. You don't have to put on an act. You don't have to pretend anymore. But you're not also called to sit back, man, and put your foot on a footstool, man, and think, man, last gravy, Mike's gonna go save Terrell. Mike's not going to save Terrell. Mike's going to be a part of it. God wants to use you. Whether that's in children's ministry, whether that's in the toddler ministry, whether that's working out at CrossFit, throwing donuts and coffee at people. Hopefully they don't do that, praise God. All right? Well, that's at your job. Or maybe that's in a bad situation. Things we don't understand, and why hasn't it happened yet? You gotta know what Dad's word says for your life. We want to be an exciting church and an epic church and a church that reaches people. But God's purpose for you and your life, man, is to know him and have relationship with him. That means you have to spend time with him. You make time for what's important. That's why we created Wednesday nights. We created Wednesday nights so that you can have opportunities to do a few things. See, life group is not just for us to get together on a Wednesday night. And believe me, you can ask Miss Doc or my wife, I don't need to take up another night. And I know you're busy too. But look at this. Life group does a couple things. First of all, it does this. Life group is for growth. It's so that you can grow in the knowledge of your Savior. The Bible says that we are to be growing It can. The Bible talks about how you can be a babe in Christ. And then you grow from a babe in Christ to full maturity. Well, how do you do that? It's not just for growth, though, is it? What else is it for? It's to go deeper. See, sometimes on Sunday, man, it's not going to be enough for you. Sometimes Sundays is not going to be enough of the message. And sometimes you're just going to have to go home or get together with other believers and go deeper in God's word. Right? What else is it? It's to connect. It's to connect. So you can shut off some stuff around you for a little bit. Turn it off. Schedule it and you put it in your schedule. Man, that you're going to spend time in God's word with other believers so you can connect. So when things go rough, and they will go rough, church, life is out there. And we're believers that live in a world of darkness. It's nice to know that we can connect with other believers, that when I'm down, I can call somebody up who's up. I can call someone who can encourage me. The last few days, I've needed that because I'm connected with some great men and women, man, that I give them freedom to speak into my life. And then finally, it's to equip you. Life group is designed to equip you so that you can be the men and women that God has called you to be, not just on Sunday morning, but in your job. In your job is so important. That's a great outreach, man. In your neighborhood. For some of you, man, in your families. Life group is about doing life together. Is that the right one? I think it is, right? Those are all in your worship guide, by the way. If you need them again, you can ask some of your neighbor who's writing them down. So it's for growth, it's to go deeper, to connect, and to equip. Wednesday nights will start at 6:45. This Wednesday will be our first one.